Praise the Lord.
Message number 287. The title of the message, The Fear of God, Part 3. And we will read in this message Psalm 82 that speak about exercise justice. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 82. And we will read from verse 1 to verse 8. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundation of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Let's pray. God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time you give us. We thank you that you always send your word on time to teach your church and your people and your workers the way that you want them to save you. Oh God, thank you for your word that explained to us what is needed for us to understand so that we will follow you and apply your word in a correct way. I pray in the name of Jesus that your word and message will bring revival, will teach the workers to fear you, O God, to come out from all their compromises, their sin, their fear of man and fear of devil. We come against all this work of Satan and we rebuke in the name of Jesus. O God, let your people understand your will and help them, O God, to be bold in obeying you, O Lord, that they will not fear man, but they will fear you, and they will put you in front of them in every case that come before them. They will put your word in practice, and they will apply it. I come against the spirit of favoritism, the spirit of compromises, the spirit of hiding and covering or condoning sin. I rebuke all in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the purpose of sending this message shall be fulfilled and you receive the harvest in the life of your servant, in the life of your church, and in the life of your people. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here, the Lord is say that he stands in the congregation of the mighty. God is the judge over all the earth. But he delegated that ministry in partial to his church to exercise justice and to apply his word and his commands in the life of his children, in the life of his saints. You know, when you say God stands in the congregation of the mighty, the church is the institute of God on earth. And the church is the house of justice and is the place of exercising the judgment of God. You know, how the church do that? The church use the word of God. God give us your His word, and we have the Bible. We need to evaluate every situation and every issues. We evaluate them through the word of God, and we deal with various sin. Whatever sin we come across, we deal with it, and we give the people their right and what to do for them. This is the purpose of God in putting church, one of the noble purpose, that His church should not only speak or declare His word and His will, but also to implement the justice of God, the rule of God. Jesus is the head of the church, and everyone in the church of God is under the word of God. God, the Holy Spirit, now in the New Testament, is filling us, and He is dwelling within His church, and He stands and present with us in dealing with each and every issue in the life of His people. God standeth the congregation of the mighty, God standeth in the church. He judge among the gods. So here, when he said that God judge among the gods, that does not mean that there are other gods beside him. But what he mean here, that God in exercising and executing judgment in his saints, that the priests and the saints who are ordained by God to lead his church, they are the one who are gods in exercising the will of the judge of the church, and that is our true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the church, and the saints, the leaders, are the gods who help God to declare His will and exercise His judgment in the life of His people. The church should realize, you must realize, you who hear the message, you who lead a congregation or do ministry, you must realize and accept that that the church are placed on earth to be the mouthpiece of God and to be the instrument of exercising justice and implementing God's will and plan and purpose. He judges among the gods. We are loyal. We as church leaders, we need to be loyal to God, not to the people, not to our children, not to our co-workers. God and His word is above everyone, and everyone in the church is under the word of God. In verse 2, you say, How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Now that is here the grief of God, the pain in the heart of God towards His church and His people, because of what is going on. The church has failed God in matter of dealing with justice and exercising judgment on those who do wrong. You know, the church should not fail God. But why he say, how long will you judge unjustly? Because the church and the saints of God, the priests whom God put to lead his church, had failed God by judging, but in unjust way. How long will you judge unjustly? Instead of doing certain things, they will do the opposite. Now what is going on? That the church will accept the wicked by condoning his sin, covering up, and approving the wrongdoing of the wicked. They are doing opposite of what God had ordained for them to do. Why the church condoning and covering up and approving the sin of the wicked? Because the wicked who have power and influence, the church leaders, they are afraid of those people, because those wicked people who do wrong and they have power, the church leaders, they are afraid of them, that if they will face them, they will fight with them. And that's here the matter of faith. We need to have faith in God. We need to fear God, not the people. You know, the church leaders who do not want to suffer in facing the wicked, they will compromise and keep things go wrong in order that their privilege will not be affected. Those church leaders, they will be turned to a wicked people, because instead of condemning the wicked, they are condoning and covering up and supporting those who do wrong so that their privilege will not be affected, and that's wickedness. Now, the church leaders are called not only to guide the people, to teach them, to give them advices, but to implement the justice of God. And everyone knows that the wicked who has influence, when he is confronted with his sin, he will fight back. Those wicked who have power, who have money, who have influence, who have position, they will fight back. And when the church leader compromise, they will compromise because they are really afraid of facing sin. Not that because, you know, Jesus is forgiving, or God understands and God is merciful. No, it's not that reason. The main reason is that they don't want to suffer the persecution that comes from the wicked people, because behind the wicked is Satan, who will fight back against the church who condemn sin and deal with wicked things. And that's what he says in verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly? How long this going on? The church nowadays is weak because of keeping and condoning sin. And God is asking his church, how long will you judge unjustly? God is sad and grieving that his church is corrupted and become unfaithful to him. Now the church leaders, most of the church leaders nowadays are their faith is on people who give tithes, on rich people, on how many people they have, but not on God. And that's why when there's a time that there's sin need to be dealt with and God wants them to stand firm, they cannot exercise justice, because the first thing they will think about their income, how they will live, how they will be provided. And that's where here the saints who are called to work, we are called to work with God to exercise justice and judgment. I just want to assure you that your life, your income, your daily food, your daily needs, all will come from God, not from people. When it comes to the justice, God wants you to stand with him against the wicked, not with the wicked against God. In verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. God wants his church to help those who are weak, to deliver them from the hand of the wicked and the power of darkness that is pushing them to fall into sin and do wicked things. We know that, you know, that those who do sin and wickedness, they are under the power of Satan. And when the church chooses to face sin and wickedness, then devil and the power of darkness will start to aggressively fight back. But the church should continue to do right. And the church should continue to do what is in line with God's will, trusting the Lord that He will be the one to fight for His church. You know, you must understand that the ministry that is in the right direction is the ministry that facing and fighting the power of darkness. You know, some people, they want to say, they say, we want to live, we want to serve and live in peace. I did not find it in the Bible. I did not find it in the life of Jesus. I did not find it in the life of the apostle. Yeah, when they were compromising, there was false peace. Keeping quiet on sin, that is compromises. If you want to keep things as it is, you are not serving God. You are failing God. Every time that you keep quiet from sin, you are harming somebody. If somebody is stealing and you are not dealing with him, there's another person whom his money had been stolen is affected, and you are the judge who kept quiet. Any time that there's adultery and you are quiet, a man or woman who belonged to somebody else had been used. And that sin, when you don't deal with it, you are harming other innocent people. You must understand, there are people whom you are called to defend their right. We know that in every city, in every nation, there's court and justice, and there are laws, even in the church. God had ordained for His church to be a house of justice, to be an institute of justice for His people. What we base on? We base our justice and judgment on the word of God. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Every time you want to give somebody his right, children who are neglected by their parents, the children need to get delivered from those wicked parents. Every time you will do such things to give the right of certain people who are affected, you need to deliver them out from wicked people. And those wicked people, they are backed up by Satan. So finally, the battle will be between you and the power of darkness. But the Lord had a promise. Us, the promises church. That's why we should not be afraid, you know. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he says, when he called Peter, and he told him, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build up my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And that's here there. Where the church is located. The church is located at the gates of Hades. Where the gates of Hades, the church is there. And you cannot avoid, there will be a fighting against the power of darkness. Not that you will fight, they will fight, and you need to stand firm. There are people, as we have said, and I continue to say, there are people who cannot fight for their right. There are people, they need to get delivered from the oppression of the evil one. The church should help such categories and help them to get delivered out from the power of devil. In the Proverbs chapter 31, not only in the prayer rebuking demons, but there's a certain time that you have to say the truth. You have to face certain people with the truth. Joshua faced Achan and exercised judgment on him. Peter faced Ananias and Sapphira and exercised God's judgment on them. Paul, he faced the sorcerer and God's blind, God caused him to get blind. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 and 9. Open, let's read in NIV. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 and 9. Say, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. So we need to speak up. There are rights of people, children, orphans, small children, big children. You need to speak on their behalf when there is sin. When the parents are in sin, we need to help the children to get delivered from the bad effect of those parents and their sin. Every time you fight against sin, there will be a struggle against the power of darkness. Job 29, verse 12 to 17. Job obeyed God's instruction. In doing this ministry of exercising justice, he say, Job, because I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist him. The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sink. He gave them their rights. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. He was also a judge. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. You just imagine, I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. There will be a danger he was exposed to. He needed courage. He might be bitten. Sure, that wicked person was hating him. And that's it, the ministry of God. You know, you want to serve the Lord and everyone in the church should be happy with you. That I did not find it in the Bible. Go forward and do God's instruction. Rest them out of the hand of the wicked. Deliver those people from the hand of the wicked. I always say, if I go to church and everyone in that congregation is happy with me, it means I am not good, I had compromise. So I'm very careful to keep people, certain people upset with me. That's true, those who do wrong and they live in sin, I should do something that will make them upset with me. Because that is how God will be pleased. We need to deal with sin. Don't be afraid of people. That is the only way for you to love them, by facing them with their sin. They may get upset with you, sad, fight with you, but that is also for their good. Finally, they will repent. Through you, they would know the truth. And God, that's what He expects today from His church. He gave us this ministry, and we need to do it well. In verse 5, that's what God expected from us, but what had happened? What is going on? In verse 5, God said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in the darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now the church and the leaders and the priests and the saints, instead of satisfying the interests of God, they behave as if they are ignorant of what God wants them to do. They choose to compromise and to protect the wicked. Why? Because they don't want to fight. They don't want to face sin. They don't want to face trouble in the ministry. But what he say here about them, therefore they choose the dark way of life. They walk in darkness, because when they did not exercise the word of God or implement the word of God, they are in darkness. And with this way, they cause others to do wrong. And when that continue, it seems that wickedness is the correct theme. Nowadays, that's what's going on in the life of the churches. Wickedness is the correct theme. Now the people are not fighting with those who do sin. People are fighting with those who want to correct sin. They will say, why you interfere? Why you are disturbing the people? You just keep it quiet. They would not say that with those who do wrong. They would not say, from where this gear? Where is your tithe? Yeah. Why you are doing like that? They would not speak about sin. But if somebody want to correct situation, they will say, why he interfere? Why he's doing like that? Why the people, why he make the people angry with him? This is the opposite going on. That's why God said they know not. And what you say, all the foundation of the earth are out of course. There's nothing you can find correct now. When you go to the Bible and see the life of the church, everything out of course. The foundation and the principle of godly life became out of course. The church today, with all the compromises that's going on, and the practices that is going on, is not only a bad example, but a wrong example to follow. The church leaders should direct the people heavenward and not hellward. If the true picture that God has ordained is disturbed by the wrong example of the church and the wrong example of the leaders of the church, then God's name will be a blaspheme among the non-believers. In Romans chapter 2, you know, when the wicked theme is the correct theme, or it is what is now on the ground, and it is what is available in the market, that the wicked theme is the acceptable theme now. The next stage is that no more righteous people who lead the church, but fool and wickedness, fool and wicked. And Romans chapter 2, he speak about leaders, not only they condone sin, but they live in sin also. Not that they condone adultery, but they are in adultery. Not that they are keeping quiet about people stealing, but they are the one who also thieves. In Romans chapter 2, and I will read verse 17 to verse 24, you say, now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God, because he said, you all of you are children of God. If you know his will and approve of what is superior, because you are instructed by the law. If you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and the truth. You then who teach others, Do you not teach yourselves? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And that's what here the law. The word of God say here. All the foundation of the earth are out of course. Now the non-believer, they are not seeing in the church a good example. They will follow. The church become a place to get a job, customer service, relationship and friendship, and clubs and worldly fellowships and food, affairs, courting, dating. That is the church nowadays. A market. Why? Church leaders get corrupted. They kept quiet about sin. They were replaced by people who do the sin now. And as priests, as common people. And the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of the people of God. Fail the Lord to exercise this. And that is here the call of the church today for revival. Revival will not come unless sin will be dealt with inside the church in a proper way. There's no favoritism, there's no influential people, there's no rich people. Those who do sin, whoever they are, they need to be disciplined. Verse 6, the Lord say in Psalm 82, verse 6, I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. This is how what God has bestowed on his people, the title of the children of God. The saints, the priests, those who lead his church and his people are required to apply and exercise justice and to deal with sin and wickedness in a proper way. Because that is their responsibility. And that is their ministry before God. That's our responsibility and that is our ministry before God. We are called to be a children of God. And to keep that title on and active in our life, we need to do the ministry of the judge. We are appointed as judges by God to walk on his behalf in his church, to declare and exercise his will to the people. This is a privilege given to us. We are his children. A privilege, an honor to get that position. And we need to fill it and we need to do the ministry. But if we fail, what the Lord will say in verse 7, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. When the church leaders fail God in exercising justice and implement the rules of, and the discipline of God, then the Lord will reject such leaders and there will be no more to be considered God's children. But there will be as other common people who do not believe in God or commit their lives to save him. They will not make it to heaven, but will go to hell with others who has no regard for God. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes, like the non-believer. You will, now church leaders, they will who compromise, they enjoy worldly life in a proper way, but they will end up in hell. In verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. When those who lead the church fail God, then the Lord himself will judge and discipline his people and will impart his judgment on them using the non-believers. And that's what had happened. And that's what is going on. God, when his church fail him, he would use the non-believers to discipline and punish his church. when the church is wayward and behave like those who has no law and no God, then the Lord will use the unbelievers to punish and bring his judgment upon his church. In 587 before Christ, God used the Babylonian to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. His temple, he destroyed it. Himself by sending the Babylonian, Nebuchadnezzar, to destroy it. Why? Because the priests who are there already, they were worshipping idols. Not only that, they are condoning the people worshipping idols, but they are themselves, they have put idols in the temple of God, different kind of idols. God warning over many years, and finally when they persist in their wrong way of worship and life and injustice, God brought judgment. God used the unbeliever to destroy his temple. And the people of God, they were killed. The priests, the prophets, they were killed inside the temple of God. God's justice. You know, arise, O God. Judge the earth. That's very, that's a very painful event. When God would judge his people using the unbelievers. When the people, when the church will not behave, finally God will use the unbelievers to punish his church. Some people, they say that why the church should be strict. You know, if the church will not be strict, God's wrath and punishment will be more severe against his people. And there also, 70 after Christ, God used the Roman Empire to destroy his temple, the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, because the Jews had rejected Christ. God will use cruel judgment against his church to discipline the church leaders and to disqualify their ministry in front of the heathen, to make the heathen understand that our God is the Lord, who do not condone and who cover up sin. He is a God of justice. He is the God who exercises judgment. He is a God who forgive his people. But when they insist in doing sin, God knows how to discipline his church. Death will come, poverty, famine, sicknesses, all God will allow. So his church and his leaders will repent and know that their sin and their compromises had brought all this upon themselves. I want to read from the book of 2 Chronicles about how God rise up and judge the nation. Rise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. All the nations belong to God, and we are his people. We are his chosen people. But if we fail God, he will deal with us. He will deal with you. He will deal with his church. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 15 and to verse 17. The Lord, the God of their father, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at the prophet, at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary. Inside the temple, he killed the young men with the sword. Why they killed them in the sanctuary? Because the people, they run to the temple of God. Because they think that if they will go to the temple, God himself will protect them. They don't know that God is angry with them already. God himself brought that enemy there, Babylonian, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary and spared neither young men nor young women, old or age. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. That is when we fail God. Finally, the highest judgment of God will be on his people. There's no other way for you to escape from doing your responsibility before God. The church is forced by God to exercise justice and implement judgment. God will ultimately deal with all the compromises of his church and his people, because he's a God of justice who abides with his word. And my advice for you, you who listen to the message, whether you are parents or pastors or leaders, you need to stand for the Lord. Repent of all your compromises. Tell him, Lord, I'm coming back to you. Forgive me, Lord. I was afraid of people. I did not trust you that you will provide for me. Here am I, Lord. I'm coming back to you. You help me, O God. Strengthen me. I commit myself to serve you, to fear you, and not to fear man. And Lord, I commit myself to implement your will in my life, in the life of my family, and the people who are under my spiritual care. Lord, help me. Tell him, Lord, help me, sustain me, protect me, provide for me to achieve that. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters who pray this prayer, who listen to your word, and they desire to serve you and do your work and your will. I pray you help them, O God, and guide them to do the right thing that is needed to do, O Lord, in their life, in the name of Jesus. O God, I pray that whatever the purpose of sending this message shall be, Lord, accomplished in the life of your church and your people. I pray for those who compromise and they are not willing to repent, and those who condone sin, and those who live in sin, and they want the church to go along with them. I pray, Lord, you deal with them, cleanse your church from them, and take them out and replace them by other people, O God, who fear you, who follow your ways and your commands. O God, we trust you, God, as we obey you, that, O Lord, you will continue to bless us. You will continue to guide us, O Lord, from victory to victory, from glory to glory. O God, take this message and make it reach those who are in need of it, those who are waiting to hear your word. O God, we thank you for this day. We bless you. God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us, and Lord, keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.